Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you. You're one of the reasons I come to church here. I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
Some people who ask me where I go to church, I say, I go to church at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. I said, the preaching's awful, but the singing's really good. And then they come here and they see that I'm the pastor and they go, John 6, 1 through 21 is our lectionary text today. Hear these words of the Lord. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for such of them to eat a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that are left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and to take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. These are the words of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Blow your spirit upon us this day, O Lord, reminding us that that is where your spirit is. Refresh us and to let us know, O Lord, that you are sufficient. And regardless what is going on in the midst of our lives, you are always present and will always see us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been in the Gospel of Mark. Now we're in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. We will be there for the next 5 Sundays. The theme and the background is Passover. And Jesus is with a crowd of people that you will see. And as he is there, he notices that they are like a sheep without shepherd. So it says that Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them. What's the difference between having pity on someone and having compassion on someone? Well, you can have pity at a distance. Did you catch that? You can have pity at a distance. You can only have compassion first and foremost up front and personal. You can pity someone from the distance, but to have compassion means to share in that suffering, to be with people in what they are going through. So Jesus, goes to these people. And notice that it says in John's gospel that there was a lot of grass. He mentions that because in John 10, we will talk about Jesus being the shepherd, the good shepherd. So here you have all of these people in green grass, the pastures. And who is Jesus? He's the shepherd. Who are they? They are the sheep. And he is their shepherd. And he looks upon them and he has compassion on them. He gets to them. He's going to go to them. Notice in John's gospel when Jesus feeds the crowd that there are two things in here that isn't necessarily in the other gospels. One is that there is a little boy there who has some bread and some fish. That's not in the other stories. Here you have a little boy who's going to share what he has. You know, there's always enough to go around. That's not the problem. The problem is we don't always trust God enough to share. And one of the things that God has given you and me to share is ourselves. Ourselves. For there is no one in the world like you and me. No one can share ourselves with another except ourselves, us as individuals. And there are many of us who have stories and have experiences of God that we can share with people when given the opportunity that can give people hope. And that is a way of feeding people. Because we are to have a hunger for feeding those who are hungry. Oftentimes when you and I serve people, you and I are oftentimes the one who are blessed more than those who we served. Though we are been blessed to be a blessing, many times that blessing is a two-way street, not a one-way street. When Jesus asked the disciples to distribute the food, they looked and they saw what they had and they said, you know, what is this amongst everybody else? And you know, you and I live in a world today where there's just never enough, is there? And that's got into our souls, hasn't it? We're never enough. You know people who think that they're not enough? They're not pretty enough. They're not smart enough. They're not good looking enough. They're not thin enough. They're just not enough. They're just not enough. Have you ever felt like you're not enough? Have you ever felt like that you were lacking? Well, let me share something with you today, brothers and sisters. You and I are enough. And you know who has made us enough? The one who is abundant, Jesus. He has made us enough. You are pretty enough. You are handsome enough. You are smart enough. You are enough. And for anyone who wants you to be more is asking you to be more than what God has made you. The evilness of this world loves to do that to us. The evilness of this world loves to pick out where you and I think we are lacking so that we can have a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. He doesn't want you and me thinking that we're enough. Because if we know we're enough, then we can trust. We can believe. And that's what John's gospel was written for us to continue to believe. If you and I believe that we are enough in Jesus Christ, we don't have to be more. We are enough. And we can live that enough. And we can share what we have. Because when we run out, there'll be someone else who will pick up right behind us. We're not in this alone. Jesus is enough. So here you have food here by a little boy that's on the story. Also in this story that you have that's not in the other stories is that you have Jesus feeding the people. Jesus is handing out the fish and the loaves. But the people are to see this as a sign. In John's gospel, the word miracle is not there, though it is miraculous. The word miracle is not there. John views what Jesus does as a sign. People are not only supposed to see what Jesus does, but John's gospel was written so that we might know who Jesus is. We are to see beyond the sign. When you and I go down the road and there's an arrow that points to the right, which way is that arrow supposed to point us? To the right. That's exactly right. So the sign isn't there for us to look at the sign and stare at the sign. The sign is to draw our attention beyond the sign to where it is pointing us to. Jesus comes to allow us to know by what he does is that God loves you and me. He accepts you and me. He wants you and me to know that in Jesus Christ, he is showing us what he is like. He's not upset with us. He's not mad at us. He's not disappointed in us. Yes, there are times when that happens. But in other times, brothers and sisters, most of the time, He is in love with us. And He wants you and me to do better than what we can do. But He loves us to that place. He loves us through those places. He doesn't get down on us. He doesn't belittle us, shame us, dehumanize us. That's what we do to one another. That's not what we're to do to one another. We're to pick one another up, dust one another off, and to say, let's continue on. Let's get through this together. We can go back, you know, we can get in our pit and we can just stay there all day long. And there will be many who will do that if we will abide by that. And they will keep us there. They will keep us down. But it's not God doing that, brothers and sisters. It's the evilness of this world doing that. Because the evilness of this world does not want you and I to understand that we are enough. We are good enough because Jesus is sufficient in you and me to see us through. We are sufficient. Because He is sufficient. When Jesus has through feeding these people, they're trying to make Him something He already is. A king. He's already a king. But He knows what kind of king they're wanting to make Him. But He's not that kind of king. Jesus is the kind of king who's going to give Himself in a way that other kings will not give themselves. He's going to go to the cross and die and take upon Himself that which an earthly king alone cannot do. I cannot bear your sins. You cannot bear mine. There is only one who can bear mine and your sins. There's only one who can take mine and your sins upon Himself and redeem us and allow us to know that we are forgiven and not allow those things to destroy us. And His name is Jesus. He is king, He is prophet, and He is, oh well, a priest. He is all those things that we are needing. That is who Jesus is. So Jesus goes away. He's not going to be their kind of king. He's going to be God's kind of king. Then there's another story. He sends the disciples across in a boat. And in Mark's gospel, Jesus is in the boat, isn't He? In the boat, there's a storm that occurs, isn't there? And in the boat, Jesus is asleep, isn't He? And in the boat, they wake Him up and they say to Him, do you remember? Don't you care? We're going to perish. Don't you care? Remember? Jesus gets up, rebukes them for their faith, says to the wind and the storm, be still, and it what? Ceases. It's still. And they say, who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey Him? That's in Mark's gospel, right? In John's gospel, that isn't there. Hear John's story. They're out by themselves in a boat. And the wind begins to come up. And they try to row to shore. And it's becoming harder and harder and harder. And Jesus shows up, not in the boat, in the midst of the storm. And He says, I am, which means God's presence. And it scares them. But He says, I am. Notice what happens in John's story. They want Him to come into the boat, but it doesn't say that He came into the boat. It doesn't say that the storm stopped. But it does say they got to the other side. Brothers and sisters, there are times in mine in your life when you and I will pray concerning the storms and the winds and the waves of life, and God will say to them, be still, and it will be still. But there are other times when you and I are in storms that God will not speak to the storms and the waves. He will speak to mine in your heart and tell it to be still. The storms may still rage, but our hearts can still be still. Peace does not mean that the storms have ceased. Peace means that we know who is the Prince of Peace. And that He is in our midst. And that you and I are going to be okay. The storms will stop. And the winds and the waves stop. When we go to the doctor and they say to us about tests, your cancer is in remission. Hallelujah. The storm has stopped. The winds have stopped. And then there's other times when we will go to the doctors and he will say, it's gotten worse. And that's when our hearts need to be still. But Jesus is still present, regardless if cancer's in remission or if it's still at its demise. Just because the winds and the waves don't stop doesn't mean that God isn't there. It happens in both sides, brothers and sisters. God is God, regardless what happens to you and me. That's what we have to realize. When my father was suffering with esophageal cancer, there were many of us who was praying for his well-being. And we believed that God was with us and with him. With all diseases, we pray that God would heal people. And sometimes that happens, and that is evidence that God is with us. It doesn't mean that they are better than us, that they're more sufficient than us, that they got more faith than us. It means that God moved to say to us that he is there. But the message is still the same, brothers and sisters. When you and I breathe our last, even if people are praying for us to stay alive, even if we pass on, God is bigger than death. God is stronger than death. God is present even when death is present. And as a result, that will pass over us. His blood is on you and me. And even though death may take our body, it will never claim our souls. And today, brothers and sisters, you and I can stand in the presence to know that Jesus is enough. It ain't Jesus plus Bible study, or Jesus plus giving you money, or Jesus plus going to the mission field, or Jesus plus nothing. You and I don't need Jesus plus. We read our Bibles to know that Jesus is enough. We give of ourselves to know Jesus is enough. We do what we do to know that Jesus is sufficient. We don't add that to our relationship with Jesus to make it better or to make it more. Jesus is enough. That's all we need. We need no more. Now, the evilness of this world will say, oh yes you do. You need more. You need to work harder. You need so much more. You better get at it. You better not rest. And of course, those of us who have a good work ethic can buy into that very easily, because we do that very well. But when it comes to salvation, brothers and sisters, salvation is a gift. Someone else worked for it. Someone else earned it. Someone else accomplished it. And his name isn't Randall Massengill. His name isn't your name. His name is Jesus, who is the Christ, who says to you and me, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So today, brothers and sisters, you are enough in Jesus Christ. And in the midst of whatever storms you and I may be in, he is going to see us through. That's the good news today. And may that keep us believing, so that we might find eternal life in that name above all names, whose one day every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. May we pray. It is our desire this day, O Lord, to keep believing, to keep trusting, and to keep realizing each and every day that you are here with us and that you are sufficient for our every need. That you are our bread. You are our drink. And regardless if we are in life or if we are in death, we belong to you regardless. We pray that we will hold to that, even when the storms will cease, even when the storms keep raging. What is more important than having the external things in our life be still is that the inward stillness of your Holy Spirit, which abides inside of us, would make us calm, so that we do not allow the external things of life to dictate us and to be our Lord. May your Holy Spirit that's within us be stronger in ourselves than that which is outside of us. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.